Well, good afternoon to you, and welcome to Women's Focus. We opened up. I was thinking Laura Nyro this morning. That wasn't Laura Nyro, but that's certainly one of her songs, Stone Soul Picnic. So I am very happy to welcome back on this winter's day, although it's getting to feel a little springish. It's in the air, but we're going to get snow again. I know that. Acupuncturist Darren McLaughlin, she is here to talk about living according to the seasons with traditional Chinese medicine. She'll share the many delicious and nutritious tools, as well as talking to us about how to stay healthy and balanced this winter season. And this, by the way, is all part of a segment I've been doing just about every month called Revolutionary Soup. And this is the fifth anniversary. And before I say more about Revolutionary Soup and Dr. D and I chat, I want you to hear this song. It's really, really short. It's not even a song, but just listen to this. And it does have male voices, which we don't normally have, but I couldn't resist this.
Soup, super tasty soup, super spicy carrot and coriander,
chili chowder,
crouton, crouton, crunchy friends in a liquid broth. I am gazpacho, oh, I am a summer soup, miso, miso. Fighting in the dojo, miso, miso, Oriental prince in the land of soup.
How do you like that, Dr. D? That little,
loved it.
That's a little ditty, huh?
That is a good ditty.
Yeah, soup, and they mentioned miso soup, which we're certainly going to be talking about today. I just want to say a couple of things about Revolutionary Soup. So this is the fifth anniversary. I began having this segment in January 2011, and basically it's a series about with wide-ranging conversations about food, and it's about our relationships and connections with food and each other. It's about community. It's about nourishment. It's about pleasure and taking care of ourselves and each other and our Mother Earth. And the conversations really have covered a whole lot of territory. I'll name a few things. Food justice issues, growing our own food, back and front yard gardens, school gardens, growers markets. We've talked about beekeeping and food security and seed saving and sustainability. We had a show once on women farmers from the South Valley and raw food diets and traditions and so much more. And yeah, so I think that's all I'm going to say now. And welcome. Welcome
Thank
back to
so
talk to
much.
Us about winter.
I'm so happy to be here. I'm happy to be celebrating the fifth anniversary, and I came, you started 2011, and I think this is like my going into the fourth year.
I think you started in 2013.
13, so three, yes. Yeah,
I
so,
think,
so,
yeah. Or something like that.
I can't believe. It's amazing.
Yeah, so yeah. Dr. D, come rain or come shine or cold or hot.
That's right.
Nothing keeps her away.
We always have something to talk about.
When the new season begins.
So you did mention we're in winter, and in Chinese medicine, that's the organ system of the kidneys, which is the yin organ, and the urinary bladder, which is the yang organ. And anybody that's listened to this segment knows that each of these organ systems has their own element, which is water, their climate. The kidney's climate is cold. The color is black. The fluid is urine. The smell is putrid, the taste is salty, the sound is groan, the emotion is fear, and the tissue it rules over is bone. I can't remember if I said that. And its quality is storage. The kidneys are one of the organs that really stores energy for us, and that's why in the wintertime it's very important to rest more, to get more sleep, to take care of ourselves, to do more warming activities like, you know, yoga, meditation, you know, Tai Chi Chi, because it's just like in nature. All of the seeds in the ground are storing energy to burst forth during spring.
So essentially it's the source of all energy, or the chi of the whole?
It's one of the big ones, which is called Jing. And Jing is what it's one of the qis that makes up who we are. So it does. It stores a very vital piece of energy to make us who we are and to keep us functioning and moving through life. And it also, the kidneys are what give us our will.
Now, you said Jing. Are you talking about what we think of as yin?
No.
It is a
J-I-N-G. It's a whole different kind of – each organ has its own – kind of qi, and jing is the qi that lives in the kidneys. But it's that kind of thing of, you know, how do we keep ourselves well through winter? And part of that is keeping the organ system of the kidney and the bladder healthy. And that's by eating the right foods and not allowing our kidneys to get too cold, you know, drinking warm teas and things like that. In order to keep the organ system well, which in turn keeps us well. Because in Chinese medicine, as well as Western medicine, the adrenal glands sit on top of the kidneys. They're part of the kidney energy in Chinese medicine. And the adrenals are our fight or flight mechanism. Adrenaline is what we pump through our body in order to help us, you know, push through a difficult challenge, be it working out or a challenge at work or a challenge at our house or a challenge health-wise. Our adrenals help us master that. And so it's important that the adrenal glands are kept well along with the kidneys. And so some of those things are, you know, I always say, you know, this is a time to eat soups and stews and a lot of ginger tea. Ginger is really, really good for the kidneys. It's very warming. Also doing ginger foot baths. You just make ginger tea and put a cup in a bucket of water and stick your feet in it.
I have yet to do that, but I was thinking about it this morning because I thought, okay, this is the time of the year when Dr. D has talked about those ginger foot baths.
Yeah.
Well, you know, for me, unless it's summer and really warm, I pretty much always wear socks to bed because my feet get really, really cold. And I suppose when your feet, it's like when your feet get cold, it's
hard to get warm. It because part of that is that the kidney, the beginning point, kidney one, is on the bottom of the foot. So when the kidneys get cold like that, it's hard for them to warm up. And that's why ginger foot baths are so great to do because they warm you, not just your feet up, but they're going directly, that warmth is going directly into the energy pathway, the meridian, from kidney one, right directly into the kidneys themselves and bladder. And so that right there, it's a really easy way to warm yourself up when you feel like you've gotten a chill. That's that kind of chill that's deep and, you know, we say it's cold to the bone.
I know you've talked about, and this is, you know, this is what a lot of people think, that you're going outside, it's cold, you keep your head warm, you put a scarf around. But I was also reading, it was either yesterday or today, this morning, about, so you want to keep the feet really warm and the head kind of cool, not cold, but cool.
Yeah.
You don't want your head too warm. And can you talk about that? Because I don't remember hearing about that
before.
Well,
we always say, you know, it's good to wear a hat in the wintertime because heat does escape through the top of our head. But it's like if our feet aren't warm, it's very hard for us to stay warm. And part of that is that we don't want our head to be too hot because too much heat in the head can create, in Chinese medicine, can create problems. It can create headaches. It can create sinus problems, eye problems with too much heat, too much yang rising. And so I always say it's like we want to wear a hat and a scarf, but we definitely want to keep our feet warm. And sometimes when our head does get too hot, it's like, what do? We just take off our hat for a couple of minutes in the winter and we cool off. Our head cools off a little bit and we become more comfortable and we can regulate our temperature easier that way. But when our feet are cold, it's hard to regulate our temperature. It's hard to make ourselves get warm. We can put extra clothes on and blankets and all of that, but it's still, when our feet get cold, it's hard to warm them up. Just like you say, getting into bed with socks on. And it's like really a good thing to do before bed would be to do a ginger foot bath, and then you would be warm in this very different way.
So for people who are thinking about it, mm-hmm. maybe people who haven't really, who hardly ever buy ginger root and thinking, oh, can I use the ginger powder that they sell for spicing? How would you prepare what
It's so simple because you can drink the tea that you make and use some of it for your feet or put in your bathtub. So you just
or drink it first before putting it.
Well, you make a big pot of it, so you have cups of it, so you can use cups of it for.
No,
I was
just suggesting
things.
Don't use it for.
Yeah, don't drink the stuff you use to soak your feet in. Very good, very good tip.
Is anyone wondering whether you should have done that or not? Okay, that was my big tip for the day.
Yeah, that's it right there. So how you do that is just to take a pot of water, a couple of quarts of water, depends how much you want to make, and a good 2-inch piece of raw ginger, and you just slice it into rounds, throw it into the water, bring it to almost a boil, and then you just turn it down and let it simmer for about 15-20 minutes to let all of that oil and the ginger leach out into the water. And then you have tea, which you can just put warm a cup of it for tea, then you put it in the fridge, and when you need it, you can put a cup into your bathtub, you can put a cup into a bucket of water, and soak your feet in it. So you have it. It lasts for, and you just leave the ginger in there. And it lasts for, quite a while. And so it's very, very simple. And I mean, you can buy ginger tea out there and you use ginger tea bags to make it. It doesn't have to be fresh ginger.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
I haven't tried it and I'm writing this down now. Carol, this is something you can't hear again next winter and say, oh, I haven't done it.
That's your homework. I don't want to hear it next winter when I say it.
Ginger tea. Okay.
Ginger tea and ginger foot pads. And ginger in your food.
Oh, yeah. I drink a lot of ginger and eat a lot of ginger. Yeah.
That's what I say. It's like ginger for winter time. I mean, just grate it into – you don't even have to slice it and dice it. I grate so much of it right into my food, into a stir fry. You can put it into your rice while we're – cooking it, or your quinoa, you can put it into any kind of soup. And it gives this really nice warmth to it. And that warmth goes directly to the kidneys.
Something that's really delicious. I mean, there's lots of delicious things with ginger. And I think I mentioned this like a couple of years ago. And it's an Ayurvedic thing. At least you just slice a thin piece of ginger, mm-hmm. or it could be a little more than thin. And you squeeze some lime over it, fresh lime. You put a little bit of salt. I guess you're getting all these flavors.
Right.
All these tastes. And then you can put like a dab of honey on top.
Uh-huh.
And that is... That's like a treat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of like candied ginger. It's a really great thing to nibble on after you've eaten because ginger aids digestion.
Right.
And so it is with all
right,
of those
exactly.
flavors.
It's after eating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you got the pungent, you got the salty, you've got the
sour.
And
you have the sweet.
Yeah.
And you have the, you have them all.
Almost.
The bitter. The rind of lime has a bitter quality to it, and the rind of ginger, the outside of it, has a bitter quality to it. It's an earthy, bitter taste. It's not bad. So, for us in Chinese medicine, you have all the five flavors. So that, that's aiding digestion. It's also strengthening all the organs because we said, the taste of the kidneys is salty. And it's always that thing about salt because people are like, we can't, in Western medicine, it's always like, you have to go on a no salt diet. And really, that's very detrimental to people is this no salt, no fat, no. What they're talking about is the kind of salt that we eat in this country. It's all in packaged foods and fast foods. It's like the kind of sodium quantity and content and quality of the salt is really, really bad. It's hard on the body to process it. And yes, it does affect the heart in that way. But, I always tell people if you use the different salts, there's Himalayan pink salt, there's black salt from Ireland, there's green salt, there's there's every color of salt because salt does not come out of the ocean white. That's something we take it and we dry it and we bleach it. I'm not sure
why. I actually spend quite a number of dollars on, which some friends say that I'm totally nuts.
Uh-huh.
But I buy Celtic salt, and it is white.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I mean, some of it, but it's not white, like regular table salt.
Yeah, it has a little grayish tinge.
Yeah, it has a grayish tinge to it, and that Celtic salt can go all the way to black. So, yeah, so it's like it's not white because it's not bleached. And so I have Himalayan salt and black salt. I have all these different salts because you need so little of it. People do think sometimes like, oh, my God, I'm not spending that kind of money on salt. But the point is like you don't have to use a shaker full of salt to season something.
You need
grains of it. Right. And so in the end, it's six of one, half dozen the other. You're not spending that much money on it because it lasts for so long and you're using so little of it.
So salt is a good thing to have this season. Is that not right?
Yes.
But just because it is doesn't mean doing an excess of it.
Right. That's our problem is people, and part of it is that when people use regular table salt, they have to use so much of it because it doesn't really have a salty taste. And so when you're using real salt in that way, you need very little of it to get the taste that you want out of it. And, you know, salt is an enzyme. So it's like when you're sweating onions to put in a soup, when you're sauteing them, you always use a little pinch of salt in those onions in order to help break them down. It's just like you put salt into your soups or your stews in order to help the enzyme wise to break the foods down.
I want to fact check something with you. I was reading that there was an article talking about living in harmony with the seasons.
Uh-huh.
And it says thousands of years ago, and it sounds like a storybook to me, but thousands of years ago, quote unquote, this is, people were living in a state of harmony with nature. They rose with the sun, they ate what they grew, aware of their natural environment. Their lives had a flow that changed depending on the time of year. And after that, it almost made it sound like they all lived happily ever after and were very healthy. But is that really true that there was that period of time? I mean, because thousands of years ago, people were facing before or maybe right when they were developing acupuncture,
sure,
which was thousands of years ago. Was there a time when people were living in?
Yeah, I think, you know, we still, you know, yes.
Going
back thousands of years, yes, there was. I mean, there was the in many countries, not just, but a lot in Asia, people were, the peasants, I mean, they were living in more harmony because, and not that that wasn't a struggle, I'm not saying that, but they did live more in that because that was all there was. They had to rise with the sun because that's when the light came out in order for them to do their work. They didn't have electric light bulbs. They didn't, you know, maybe they had candles, but they didn't have all these resources that we have that they could just go, oh, well, I'm just going to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning to finish my work. Or I'm going to go out and plant, you know, things like that. It's like in harvest, it's like they had to do that in a time where the weather was warm and where there was light and where there, you know, they had to go and get their water. But they also lived where water was closer to them and they used irrigation systems in order to water. But they did carry their water to water things. So all of that had to be done at a time when there was light, and when there wasn't light, what was
right,
it? It was
they,
rest.
And they had to adjust the
Yeah, and not that there weren't, you know, there weren't locust infestations and floods and fires, and that's when nature inside our body, that's when nature is able to be out of control, wreaks havoc. And so the same thing happens in our body. If we don't balance the internal environment, which is our body's nature.
Something else that I read that caught my attention this time around reading about winter, according to traditional Chinese medicine, is that and I know I've read it before, but I didn't pay so much attention to it, that the sensor organ associated with kidneys is the ears. So this thing, I'm quoting a bit today, but I read something that actually just really kind of spoke to me, and it is that winter is a time of stillness and quiet, amplifying any sound there is, and the ability to listen clearly at this time of year is sharpest, not only listening through conversation, but listening to your own body and comprehending its needs as well as having deeper understanding of yourself and your interactions with others. So that's kind of deep.
That's so beautiful because it is so...
It's a good description of
it is
that
a beautiful,
hearing and ear association with kidney.
Right, and it's really that deep hearing. It's part of what they're talking about, too. That's the whole thing of meditation and rest and
right.
A cup of tea and reading or a cup and tea and reflecting on things during the winter because we have less light. It's cold. I know it's hard today to think about that, but you're right. The weather's going to change and it's going to get cold again. And I think the one thing, you know, Chinese New Year is coming February 8th, and that's one thing I always talk about with people is like I don't really celebrate our New Year. I wait for the Chinese New Year because it's more appropriate. When we celebrate New Year, it's at the height of winter. And so everybody tries to set all these resolutions, and most people fail at the resolutions because they require so much action. And wintertime is more of a time of inactivity. So in nature, everything is more inactive in that way. It's more subtle. It's more quiet. It's more contracted energy. And that's what yin is. That's what winter is. And so really the Chinese New Year is another name for it is a spring celebration. We're getting ready for spring. So I always say the best thing in January is to set attainable winter goals. And then in the new year, Chinese New Year, and in spring, March 21st, then we get to review those goals and see what we're going to set for our spring goals.
You know, just even though this is very simplistic, this is the first time we've been talking about this that I suddenly thought of bears hibernating.
Right.
The whole thing about conserving their energy. And this is the time where...
That's right. And so they're not sitting there making any plans and they're extremely inactive. They're not thinking about, oh, let's see, when are the salmon going to run? They're concentrated on conserving energy and
right.
staying alive. They've eaten and eaten and gotten so fat because that's how they survive. If they don't get fat enough, they can't survive till spring. And sometimes that's why bears die is because they have to come out of hibernation too soon, or the weather tricks them because of the climate changing in our environment, and they come out of hibernation too soon and they don't have enough food to sustain them because it gets cold again.
Right.
So it's the same for us. We try and come out of hibernation in January 1st and we try and set these goals of like, oh, I'm going to go to the gym every single day. It's like that's never going to happen. It's just not.
The gyms make a lot of money from people signing up.
They make a lot of money in the industry. If you look at it by the middle of February, most of those are inactive or people just stop going. That's
right,
it.
Right.
And so they've made their money because you've signed up for the year and they already know that industry-wide that people, you know, there's a handful of people that do it.
No, I was going to say, for those of you who signed up, you know, right after Christmas and you're still working out, good for you. We're not talking about
yes,
you.
Yes, exactly. But it's what's an attainable goal for us. It's
maybe
walking a little bit more, you know, maybe 3 days a week instead of none or one, or maybe getting out 4 days a week. You know, whatever it is for yourself that's attainable and something that is a goal that you reach, and that makes us feel really good about ourselves when we follow through on a goal, as opposed to, I'm going to walk every day for an hour. Okay, probably in the winter that's not going to happen because at 5:30 it's really cold and it's dark and all of that. And most people don't want to get out of bed at 6 o'clock in the morning to go for their walk. It's more a springtime thing.
I want to talk about the food for winter, but one thing while I'm thinking about it is the concept for revolutionary soup came about really quite simply, and that's from doing lots of walk with a friend of mine, and we started talking about food and different traditions from, you know, her family, my family, and I thought, boy, it would really be great to talk about this kind of stuff on the radio, but also it was talking about, and after we would walk, because she lived near where we walked, you know, one day I suggested, oh, you know, because it was late in the afternoon after I got off work, and I'd say, let me bring over a pot of soup, and we'll have a pot of soup after we after we walk, and that became, for a period of time, a tradition with us, and it was really great. So it comes from that idea of that loveliness and comfort of gathering around the table together and sharing a pot of soup and conversation with friends and family. And for me, in this world of ours, that is a simple yet really beautiful and revolutionary act.
Exactly. I mean, it's so brilliant. I mean, really, you're talking about it and it's so simple, but it is the revolution that needs to happen for us as people. We need to get back to the table for so many reasons.
For many reasons, right.
Many, many reasons. And what, you know, one of those is just our health. And I don't mean just our health physically. I mean emotionally and spiritually. We have to get back to the table and we have to reconnect with ourselves and our communities. And that's what this, to me, Revolutionary Soup, that's why it touches me so deeply, because I'm like, this is it. It's what I miss about growing up. It's like there were always people at our table, not just our family, but our friends. And in the holidays, it was our family and our friends. And there was just something about that was so amazing, especially in the wintertime growing up back east. Yeah.
I was going to say, with the wintertime, we've passed the major holidays, but there are these celebrations and holidays in the wintertime.
Yes.
And there's really a number of them. And I think culturally around the world that bring people together to eat
Absolutely. And
feast. Together.
Yes, exactly. And so that simple act of yours, look at what it came to, this entire 5 years of a show that has brought people back. I truly believe what you've done has brought people back to the table. I think people listen. I know because I'm on the radio with you and my clients tell me, my patients come and they say, oh, I heard your show and I made the soup and I had people over. And so I do know that we are changing lives in that way. And I think it is really important to help people realize that it's a very simple act to make a pot of soup and take it somewhere or call your friends and say, I just made a pot of soup. It's a pretty simple thing to do. And yet it's so profound.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. Uh-huh. And let's talk about now some of the great winter soups.
Yeah.
We don't have to talk. And the foods that are really great. So, you know, I know that you make a great black bean soup.
Oh, yeah. The black bean chipotle soup is the soup because the color of the kidney is black.
So we're going to talk about that. And let's also talk about miso and miso soup.
Yeah.
Because this is the season.
This is it. And
seaweed.
It's seaweed because sea vegetables are salty and they're dark in color. So again, they match perfectly. They're the perfect food. Miso and seaweed are the perfect foods. So I do want to talk a little bit about that because we had said the other day something about, you know, how to prevent illness during the winter. And
right,
it was such a great, like it popped for me. I was like, oh, that's great. And so I have two simple soups. And one is what they say, a cure for the common cold. And what we're used to is Jewish moms always made chicken noodle or chicken matzo ball soup. And that cured what ailed you. That was it. And part of why it cured what ailed you is because chicken is a diuretic. And so as children, we would eat that soup and it would make our pores open. It would make us sweat out what was making
us
sick.
That's the reason chicken soup is good for you?
That's really why.
I don't think I really knew.
No, most people don't. Jewish moms knew. They just didn't maybe know. But the Chinese have been using chicken in herbal medicine for thousands of years. And that's part of why it makes us well, is it's a diuretic and it would help us as children. Because if you eat chicken soup, you know that it makes you sweat. I don't know who eats chicken soup and doesn't sweat in some way. Well, that's what Jewish mothers knew, was that this is what cured what ails you. And so that was their cure for the common cold. And now I give you the Japanese mother's chicken soup, which is miso soup. And it's miso. Without the chicken. It's miso with scallions. Scallions have another property. Onions allow us to, it opens our senses. You know, when we cut onions, we cry. That's sweating. That's allowing toxins to be released. Our nose opens from it. It's like, whoa, you know. And so it's really very simple soup. It's just 6 cups of water, 3 to 4 tablespoons of what I use is red miso at this time of year because it's very hearty. You can find it in the Asian section. It's usually in the refrigerator section of stores.
And you can find it in any of your normal stores without mentioning names that sell a lot of healthy
Health food stores, things like that. So it's just 3 to 4 tablespoons, and then it's 3 to 5 green onions, the stalks and the onion, the whole thing chopped. And you dissolve you heat that water, the 6 cups, and you take out a cup of that and you put your tablespoons of miso in that and you make a paste with it. Then you turn off the water and you put your miso paste back into it and mix it. Because miso is fermented, it's alive, it's enzymes, and so you can't boil it. You don't want to boil it and boil it and boil it. So you make your soup, your water hot, your 6 cups, you boil that, and then you turn it off and you take the cup out or cup or two out, and you take your tablespoons of miso and you put it into that cup and you mix it and mix it. You'll see it's a miso is a paste and it takes a little bit of time for it to dissolve. And then you put it back in and then you throw your scallions in there. And the other thing you can do to get your seaweed is just to break up sheets of nori. Just crumble those into it and voila, you have the Japanese mother's chicken soup for the soul, chicken soup to heal you.
There are lots of seaweed out there, mm-hmm. and I know in some of the stores, like the bigger chain kind of health stores, there's some stores that only sell a couple of them. And sometimes you've talked about kombu or something else, and they don't have it. There's not much to choose from.
Right.
So would you say that as long as you get any kind of sea vegetable, that would suffice?
Yeah, I say nori because it's sheets of nori you can buy at not just health food stores. You can really buy that anywhere because
that's
what sushi is wrapped in, and that's become very popular. So nori is a great one because you can just crumble it into your stir fry. You can crumble it into your soup. So, yes, sometimes you don't have wakame or a hajiki or arame available.
Does dulse work also?
Dulse is a great one. Dulse is dulse flakes. That's one of the ones that's very easy to introduce people.
Right.
You can sprinkle that in soup. You can sprinkle that into...
It doesn't have that intense flavor.
No, it doesn't. And nori doesn't either, really, when you put a little bit into your, you know, miso soup. And so that's really a great simple soup. When I'm not feeling well, I tell you, all I do is a cup of miso soup and... That's it. I think that it heals all. It's really an amazing thing.
I wanted to say something before I forget, because sometimes I wind up not saying it after I talk to somebody here, is that KUNM has a 2-week archives, and I know that when Dr. D is here and I'm trying to scribble things down, I can't get it down fast enough.
Yeah.
But you can always go back and listen to any of our programs for up to 2 weeks after they air. So if you're hearing a recipe and you say, darn, I really want to hear that again, or whatever, we just started talking. If you go to our 2-week archives and you go to this date and about 12:30, this is, I think, right after that we started talking about the food and with the recipes. Okay. And by the way, the archives are not available for a particular show until about 20-30 minutes after the show ends.
Okay. But that's a great tip. I forget that because people are always asking me, I couldn't write fast enough.
Right.
Or they're in the car listening. So that's wonderful that they can just go and do that.
Right.
And
so that's miso.
Yeah, that's miso. That's
the simple
one.
Soup.
And then there's another one, which is an immune soup, a soup to help your immune system.
Well, now, what did you say the miso was good for? Preventive
purposes.
It's
a cure for the common cold. It's the Japanese mother's matzo ball soup. That's what I liken it to. So the other one is an immune soup, something to eat in order for prevention, to keep yourself strong. So again, you start with 1 quart of your miso broth. So again, you would start by making all of this in the pot first before you put the miso in because you don't want to boil it. So you're going to chop a small yellow onion and saute that with a little olive oil, 7 to 10 cloves of garlic crushed and chopped, 1 carrot grated, 4 to 8 fresh shiitake mushrooms sliced, 1 to 3 tablespoons of ginger root grated. That's to taste. So might start with the tablespoon and see if that satisfies you. If not, you can go 1 the juice of a fresh lemon and 3 tablespoons of fresh parsley chopped. So you put all, you cook all of that, you put it into the pot, you cook till the carrots are tender, then you take out some of that broth and you mix your miso paste in that. Again, that would be 1, 2, 3 tablespoons. It depends in a quart of the liquid. It depends how you want it to taste. So that's a taste preference for you. And then you cook everything. You turn it off. You take some of the broth out. You mix the miso in and you put it back into the soup. And when you put your soup in the refrigerator and heat it the next day, you just don't want to boil it. You just want to bring it to hot. Because if you boil it too much, it's killing all of the beneficial properties of miso.
Oh, this is the first time. I mean, you may have said it before, but now I'm really, at least now, if I did hear it before, I'm really hearing it. So, yeah, I might be guilty of, sometimes I walk away and something starts boiling before I realize
That's why I always say, just do the miso after you make the whole soup, then you add your miso at the end as your flavoring. So you just start with water.
So you got to make sure, though, that when you're taking some out to mix the miso in with, that it hadn't been boiling prior.
Yeah, once you turn it off, it's just hot.
Right.
So, and you mentioned the black bean soup, and so I'll talk about my cooking classes, because I do have one scheduled for this Tuesday, which is February 2nd.
Yeah, Dr. D does cooking classes
where you can learn all about these recipes.
And you actually cook.
And we cook and we eat together. Right. So it is revolutionary soup in action. We all come together at the office and we cook the soup. We learn all about, more in depth of what Carol and I have talked about as far as Chinese medicine. So it's this Tuesday will be the last winter class, and there are a few openings left. So if you call our office, 242-1067, we can get you into that class, or you can write to us, email us at drsdandg@gmail.com.
Doctors spelled out.
Doctors spelled out, the letter dandg@gmail.com.
And that puts you on the mailing list, too.
Puts us on the mailing list, and so you get the newsletter and you get some of the recipes. But really now it's like where the recipes, we're learning them is at the cooking class. I just did one last week, and we had the best time. We made a great seaweed salad, black bean soup. I made an incredible hors d'oeuvre this time with a miso dressing. It was so good. And we made a ginger, cranberry, orange muffin, because orange is really good for the kidneys, actually, and ginger. And they were gluten-free. And they were delicious. They were just so good. And so they're very, very fun. Carol's been to the classes, and we've had just a great time learning and sharing all of this with everyone.
Yeah, definitely. It's a whole lot of fun. So let's talk about, we can just list some things that are foods that are especially good for the winter. Not saying you can only eat them in winter, of course.
No.
But they're especially good.
Right. And you know what? In my immune soup, I forgot to mention the two very the herbs that can go in it. You can literally cook in there astragalus root, which most people have heard of. You can go to a Chinese medicine pharmacy and buy astragalus root and atractalodes. Okay. If you tell somebody at the farm,
atractalodes,
it's atractalodes, atractalodes. And those two herbs, you put a piece of those herbs in dried and you cook that in your immune soup, and both those things help to boost the immune system.
Can you do one if you don't have the other?
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. One's better than none.
And can you use... Because there are herb places that might not have the root, but they might have the
usually they'll have it in a liquid, but then it's in a they might have a liquid. The dried, I don't know how well that a root, but I have to tell
that's
you, astragalus especially is very easy to get nowadays. It's one of the more common Chinese herbs.
Right.
So just doing astragalus in your soup, especially the immune soup, but you could also do it in the common cold cure soup, the miso soup, will really, really help you.
Astragalus has a good rep these days.
Yes.
It has
yes.
Real, yep.
Yep. And so, yeah, so it's there's so many things to do. So some of the other foods, that's great. Some of the other foods are, we talked about black beans, parsley, really good for the kidneys. Beets.
Always beets.
Always
all
beets.
Season.
Beets, 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 and more beets. Scallions, we talked about that. So all of the seaweeds, kombu, dulse, wakame, arame, hajiki. Plums, prunes.
Plums.
So all of those are dried, but you
would rehydrate
them. That's really the important thing in the winter is to rehydrate all of the dried fruits. And then the other is blueberries, blackberries. And so blueberries, again, it's like you can put those in your oatmeal. Fresh blueberries or dried blueberries in the morning are really, really great.
What about
great
frozen
thing.
Blueberries?
Frozen blueberries, same thing. All, you know, best to heat all of these things during the winter will help the kidneys stay strong. And red cabbage is another one. Kidney beans and any kind of red bean, but kidney beans especially are really great things. You know, kidney bean soup is a great one to have. Kidney bean, you can put some kidney beans in your salad, just, you know, warm. It's like, you know, it's not that you can't have salad in the wintertime, but you need, that needs to be the condiment.
I never thought of making kidney bean soup before.
Yeah. Yeah, kidney beans. I love kidney beans. Yeah, you can make that. Kidney beans are, you know, something we used to use all the time back east in chili, not green chili stew, but we, you know, my mom used to make this, and a three bean salad was the other thing she made a lot during the summer.
You know, I feel really silly, but dried grapes or raisins,
mm-hmm.
dried plums or prunes?
Prunes. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's okay. So you're talking about.
Yeah, so prunes are really good.
So you can just rehydrate them?
Yes, you rehydrate them. Stewed prunes are one of the really great things to eat in the morning warm, like a few of those. So you just take a bag of dried prunes, you put them in, cover them with water, and then you put lemon juice in them and then a few slices of lemon, and you just simmer them on the stove until that simmers and they become really plump. And then, you know, I eat those. I just made a big batch of them, and I finished them just the other day, and now I'm going to cook another one, tonight or tomorrow, and then I'll have them for the week. And then I just take out a few of them. You can throw them in your oatmeal. You can throw them in your quinoa, but I rehydrate them. I mean, I warm them again, and I just eat those sometimes as the first thing I eat in the morning before I eat, you know, the rest of my breakfast. And they're delicious. I mean, they're so good. And, I mean, you could do that with apricots. You could do that with anything.
Right.
And blueberries.
So I've never made anything intending to make this. It sounds similar to things I've made, but people write about and talk about kanji.
Ah, kanji.
So that is a grain kind of cereal, right?
It's
like
a grain
porridge?
It's a porridge. And what that translates to in Chinese medicine, kanji, the other word for it is jook, J-O-O-K. So you'll hear both those words. And what that translates to is rice soup. So kanjis are made. You could make a astragalus atractylodes kanji. And you would take. What it is it's the ratio of water to rice. Kanjis are made with a lot of different things, but really the main kanji in China was made with white rice. You know, basmati rice is great. 1 cup to 8 to 9 cups of water. If you had the best way to do it is in a crock pot. On low, you know, before you go to bed at night, you put the 1 cup of rice in, you put the 8-9 cups of water in. You set it on low, and the newer ones now, they actually will turn off after you can program them. And after 5-6 hours, they turn off and they go to warm. And then you would, with those, you would put the root right into that. Right into the soup, a couple of strips. When you buy the herb, you'll understand what I'm saying. A couple of strips of those in, and then in the morning, you can add to that whatever you would add to your oatmeal. You could make it savory by putting some black beans and seaweed and a little miso in it. You could actually put a little maple syrup, nuts, and raisins in it if you wanted. So kanji is a – it's easily digested, and you make medicine congees by putting different things into them, like carrots. And so then it's a carrot congee, and that's really good for the spleen. Or there's a fennel congee, which is really good for the stomach. And all these different things, you know, black sesame seeds, and it's really good for the kidneys. So, yeah.
Can you repeat something for me again? Because maybe I wasn't listening carefully enough, I think. So, for a moment, you called it soup. Mm-hmm. So, when you put how much?
The translation of congee is rice soup, porridge. So, it's 1 cup to 8 to 9 cups of water.
Okay, one type of grain.
Well, grain, yes.
So you can use quinoa.
You can use quinoa. You can use millet. You can use barley. You can, you know, but each of those has a different medicinal property. You know, and I don't really have time to go through all of the medicinal properties. So I just gave you a simple immune boosting.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So yes, each one of those, every grain has a different property to it medicinally. So you would make them according to what the illness was for somebody. And so those are really, really great things to do, especially when somebody's come, you know, had a long illness and they're trying to recover from it, a cold that lasted a long time, or the flu, or anything else that they might have had. Those kinds of congees are really, really good because they're easily digested and they're easily assimilated. The nutrition is taken out of them and the body uses it in order to heal us. So again, it's like, you know, another kind of chicken soup for the soul.
This is Women's Focus that you're in tune to, and Dr. Darren McLaughlin is here with us, and she's with Diamondback Wellness Center, and she is a practitioner of traditional Chinese medicine, and we're talking about the winter season and how we can be in harmony with it in the foods to eat, and we've also talked about some of the good things that we can do for ourselves, that it's kind of an inward season, and, you know, not to say you shouldn't be outside and skiing and snowshoeing and whatever else you want to do, but it's also good to kind of hole up in the house sometimes, I think, and,
it is.
And meditate and read and be quiet. And
yeah, and have a cup of ginger tea and just sit back and reflect. Just, you know, take stock on our lives and, you know, where we've come from and what we've done and some of our goals and thinking about that and some of the goals and aspirations we might have for this spring and this summer and this next year. And let me quickly just saying the new year, we are going February 8th into the red fire monkey, and red means go. Unlike us who think that red means stop, red means go. This is a year, the monkey year. Just think of monkeys. They're very entertaining. It's a very adventure-filled year, a year of discovery, a year of questions and answers. The monkey is an optimist, even in the deepest, darkest, you know, recesses. The monkey always seems to come up with some idea of how to change that. And it's going to be a very big, socially active, interactive year. The monkey is a very social, very clever little fellow. So that's what's happening. And fire, it's just the nature of fire. So it's the red fire monkey. So everybody should get ready. We're coming out of the year of a wood goat, which was a little bit stagnant, just the nature of wood. So red means go. So it should be a great time for spring to burst forth.
I want you to, before we end, one thing I want you to throw out, some of the good spices to eat this winter season.
Ginger, garlic, rose hips, corn silk. Corn silk is really good for the bladder. Parsley, really good for the bladder. Kelp is another great way to get seaweed. You can do kelp tablets. Lecithin, wheat germ, and there's lots of vitamins that are really good for the kidney. C and A and E and B. Bs are really, really good for the kidney. And so, again, just cooking class this Tuesday, 242-1067. Call us and we can get you in. There's only a few spots left. And I just want to say Revolutionary Soup has helped me revolutionize my life as far as coming back to the table and eating with my friends again and family.
I want to read more about Red Monkey. Where can I go? Seriously.
So really just
Google Red Monkey.
Just put in Red Fire Monkey. That's the best way.
Yeah, Red Fire.
Because if you put in Chinese New Year 2016, you don't get as much information, but if you go to Red Fire Monkey, there's a number of sites, and there's some really good sites that give you what your sign. I'm a snake, so what the snake's year is going to be like in a monkey year. So that's a really great way to find it and just kind of read a little bit more about it and a little bit about what the things that are good to do and the things that are, you know, going to be a little bit more of a struggle, and we have to persevere this year.
So what about some desserts? I'm not letting you go yet.
Oh, dessert. I said the muffin. Oh, my God. And the other thing is I always love to make a blueberry compote with ginger and orange. You can also do this with cranberries. Ginger and orange in it, and you just cook that down with a little bit of honey, maple syrup, a little brown sugar. And then you do like what I call an apple brown Betty. You do a oat pecan. I always use a little bit of butter, and again, you can use honey, maple syrup, or brown sugar, and you make a crumble for the top, and then you bake that for about 20 minutes in a 350 oven. And so I make all kinds of little compotes and brown Bettys like that. But yeah, the muffins, the cranberry orange, they are just delicious. So yeah, there's all kinds of things that we cook in the class that people have to make for the winter season.
Okay. Any last words, my friend?
Oh, just Happy New Year to everybody. And
what are you going to do Chinese New Year?
The one thing that I do is I cook a whole fish because that brings good luck. Head everything. You have to cook the entire fish with scallions, ginger, and a little like tamari seasoning on it. Yep. So it's a whole fish, and that's the good, brings in the good luck for the year.
Okay, thanks so much, Dr. D, Dr. Dan McLaughlin, Diamondback Wellness Center. Email address is doctors, doctors, dandandg@gmail.com. Okay.